Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Narcisse, the show where we affirm, celebrate, and play with the creative, healing, guiding power of dreams, coincidence, and imagination. Our guest this time is Lisa Bowie. She is a dream work coach. She recently completed level one of my training for teachers active dreaming. She is a very lively, energetic YouTuber, teacher, counselor, somebody who wants to help you empower your life through the gift of dreaming. And I think for fun this time, I'm going to really play somebody who's walked in off the street and is seeking from Lisa some of the things that she offers. I was just looking at her new website, which is called thedreamworkcoach.com, and I see she's offering guidance on things like dream recall, dream journaling, dream incubation, lucid dreaming, waking dream symbols, active dream, which is, of course, our name for the whole concatenation of techniques, dreaming, eyes wide open and eyes fast closed, group dream sharing, etc. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, you have patience and good humor because we had some gremlins around and we tried to do this show live in June, but we're going to have an even better show now. So let's start. I'm really going to turn you into my teacher and guide and play someone who's needing to learn about all the things that you say that you're going to offer us. But before we do that, just talk a little bit about your life in relation to dreaming, including paying attention to dreamlike symbols and signs from the world around you. What pulled you into all this? What grew your passion to learn to dream stronger and bring it to other people?
Well, so my whole life I have felt like extremely drawn to the dream world. And like a lot of people, like when I was a tiny little kid, my relationship with the dream world, it was so powerful that I could hardly tell it apart from waking reality. Like, I remember my first real, like, physical world lesson was that I can't actually fly in this physical reality like I can in the dream world. That was kind of like a wake-up to me when I was a kid and kind of what really started my journey into all of this. And as a kid, too, I remembered having past lives, and I remember seeing orbs of light in my room that I called angels. But when other people couldn't see or experience all these things that I was, I started to write it off kind of as, like, not real. Like, if I can't see it and feel it and no one else can't either, it just must, you know, not be real. And so I started to kind of get disconnected from that pure source of childhood magic, you know, that we all have when we're kids. And this happens to a lot of us, to most of us. We become disconnected to that as we get older. But even through all of that, I always had my dreams. Like, I always appreciated my dreams. They've always been an escape for me and just this constant source of magic in my life. But I, like, went on with my whole life keeping a dream journal and reading them, like reading about dreams for entertainment. But I never really understood their value. Like, they were just funny and entertaining to me, but they were always, like, just dreams. But one night, I had a dream that kind of woke me up out of that slumber I've been in. And this super powerful dream. I would call it, like, a dream of guidance, where in the dream, I was in this place that could have been the vast space between atoms or the vast space between galaxies. Like, it didn't matter. It was just this place between matter, right? So when I'm in this place, I could see and feel everything I've ever experienced in this life and in multiple parallel lives, like, all at one time. It's so hard to explain, but if anyone's ever experienced anything like this, you know what I'm talking about. It's just this feeling of overwhelming love and patience. And I felt this figure, like there was this being there, this woman, like a female figure. It felt like a mother that was trying to basically explain the inner workings of the multiverse to me. Like, this is how powerful this dream was. And when I woke up, my arms were actually, like, levitating in the air above me, which was another indicator to pay attention to this dream. This is a big one. It was life-changing. So when I woke up, I realized, like, what I just witnessed. I just witnessed, you know, the inner workings of the multiverse firsthand. And it changed me forever. So since then, I consider myself a conscious member of the multiverse. And actually, most importantly, now I understand that dreams aren't just dreams. This dream showed me that dreams are what connects us to who we really are. And that right there is what kind of like propelled me into this, trying to make it something that I do all the time, something that I can use to help other people find the same meaning in their dreams. Like for me, it woke me up to reality. So now I know. Like,
that's a very juicy invitation to people to think about what more might be possible in dreaming. Let's pause on the big dream experience you just described. You've given it a title, I'm sure. What is the title of that experience when you went through the particles of an atom, perhaps, and met that teacher and learned about conditions in the multiverse? What is the title for that experience?
I would kind of call it Waking Up to the Multiverse.
Waking Up to the Multiverse. That's pretty good. And let's talk about your feelings then and your feelings about it now. I mean, we can hear them. We can sense them in the way you were talking. But what did you feel at the time?
At the time, I could not believe. Like, I was in awe. And I had this overwhelming feeling of love. I haven't really felt anything like it before or since. It was just this overwhelming feeling of everything's okay, calmness, love.
Does that feeling or something like it return to you now when you think about that experience and talk about it?
I think, like, when I think about it, I'm reminded of not only the experience, but the feeling, too. Like, the feeling is not as strong now, but I am still reminded of that feeling.
How old were you at the time of this experience?
40.
Okay. See, well, you weren't a girl. You're already a mature woman. You'd seen a lot of life, yet nonetheless it happened. Did it start spontaneously? Did it start in that in-between hypnagogic state? Did it start when you fell asleep? How did it begin?
I would have to say it was in that hypnopompic state where I was just waking up. And I have a lot of wild experiences in that state of just waking up.
So it started as you're beginning to surface from sleep in that hypnopompic state as you're coming back to waking life. That is a very fertile state for these experiences. Has there been any other experience in which you felt yourself perhaps, if I hear you correctly, becoming infinitely small and waking up in a very large universe indeed? Has anything else like that happened?
Well, since then, I've had a lot of dreams like that. So on a regular basis now, probably a couple times a week, in that same state, like it'll be around like 3 or 4 in the morning when I wake up from my first sleep cycle, I wake up with very similar dream memories of being shown the multiverse, you know, experiencing time not existing and things like that. So since then, yeah, it happens a lot.
if it's my experience, my mind goes back to what was a very big experience for me, which I called the Incredible Shrinking Man, which I found myself going through the heart of an atom. I mean, getting smaller and smaller. I mean, you know, getting smaller until the leg of a bug was like, you know, the colossal sequoia tree, and getting smaller and smaller, going through the particles inside an atom, coming out in another universe with a very wise teacher who really was not exactly human at all, but whose voice moved through me. And thinking afterwards, all of this was really a lucid dream that began in the hypnagogic state, but was not intended, not something I intended to do, something I invited to do. And since then, I've actually led group journeys along these lines. Okay, let's imagine that we can become almost inconceivably small, find ourselves in this way in another universe, see what we can learn about multidimensional reality. So your experience has, you know, huge resonance for me and probably for others. What an interesting invitation to become more of a dreamer. All right, Lisa, we could go on like this all day, and that would be great. But I'm now going to turn you into a teacher, and the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you a question that so many people ask people that they know are into dreaming. you know, at least this all sounds cool. It sounds like you make me feel I'm missing the movies because I don't remember my dreams. And what can I do about that?
To remember your dreams?
Remember my dreams.
For me, I have a few different things that I would suggest. One of them is to set an intention to remember. Like, it sounds so simple and so, like, overly simplified, but it really can be that easy. To, right before you go to bed, set that intention to remember your dreams. Just say out loud to the universe, like, help me, I want to remember my dreams tonight. And for me, like, I just went through a little bit of a dream drought myself. It happens to all of us. And I used some of these tips right here that I'm telling you to kind of get mine back, too. Like, another thing that helped for me just now was trying to de-stress, like just winding down before bed and getting into a bit of a routine. So my body knows, like, it's time to go to bed, and then I'm setting that intention to remember. And also dream journaling. If you start a dream journal, even if you're not really remembering very much, if you just start one and just write down anything at all that you remember when you wake up, even if it's just a color or a feeling, just that intention of remembering again, like you're writing it down in a journal, you're kind of telling your subconscious, like, this person is serious about this, you know, like they're gonna take this seriously if they give them more dreams. And then one more that I never realized worked, but I heard this tip from someone else and it does work, is that when you wake up, to lay in different sleep positions. And somehow, like, when I turn into, like, my normal sleep position after I wake up, different dream memories come back. So I'm not sure, like, how that works, but I tend to think it's, like, a muscle memory thing, maybe. But kind of turning and tossing into different sleeping positions can help different chunks of dream come back to me. I'm not really sure why, but it works.
Okay, now remember, I just walked in off the street and I haven't been doing any of this stuff, and now you mentioned journaling. Lisa, I thought a journal was just something where you vented and ranted all the stuff that, you know, you're frustrated about, and then you burned it later on. I thought that's what a journal is all about. You're saying it's a journal might be about something else?
Yeah, so your dream journal, for me, a dream journal is more important for me than, like, my regular journal. I never actually kept a regular journal my whole life, but I've kept a dream journal my whole life. So for me, it's how I actually remember my life. And once you start keeping one for a while, you're actually building your, like, best dream dictionary personalized to you that you could ever possibly have, because you start to notice patterns and themes. It actually helps your dream recall, too. And you'll start to notice, like, things that you wouldn't notice, like that you're dreaming of the future, which you might not notice unless you're able to have that dream journal to, like, reflect back on later when something crazy like deja vu happens. You're like, I swear I dreamed this before. You actually have that journal to go and look. And when you confirm to yourself you did dream it before, like, even more opens up to you. So I would say the dream journal is a lot more than just jotting down a couple thoughts. You're, like, building something like a personal encyclopedia that you can have forever and refer back to at any time.
Okay, now I'm a different person who's just walked in. I have a slightly different experience. My problem is not that I don't remember my dreams, Lisa. Lisa, my problem is that I have so much material. I've got so much stuff. And if I start trying to write it all down, I'll spend half the day and won't get anything done. I mean, it's all confusing, too. I start writing it down. There's page after page. I have no idea what to do with it. It just sort of seems like an endless torrent. So what could you say to me? I've got too much stuff.
Well, I've had that problem before. And for me, like, sometimes it's just out of pure laziness when I'm like, I have to get somewhere and I don't want to write down this massive dream. I will just bullet point it instead. And then if I notice something important in it, I can go back to those bullet points later and write it down. But I've also noticed if I'm not recording my dreams and they are important, they're going to come back. So I don't freak out if I don't write everything down. The important stuff comes back to you. You know, it's looking for you. It wants you to get the idea. So I would say don't stress about it. It's supposed to be fun. You don't want to be worrying about, oh, man, I missed something, and worrying about that so much that you missed the next thing. So I would suggest just bullet pointing what you think is important or just summarizing the dream in a super short summary, and that helps you get to the meat of what the dream is trying to say.
Okay, that's all good. All right, so I'm going to just talk now as a fellow dream worker and fellow teacher for a bit. One of the things that you talked about from childhood and remembering dreams were important to you resonates with many of us, because many of us didn't really have the family member or the friend with whom we could confide in this stuff who could give us any help with it. I mean, they may or may not have been sympathetic, but they usually couldn't either relate to it or couldn't give us any feedback that took us anywhere. You didn't mention the horrible kind of experiences sometimes turn kids off dreaming altogether, but, you know, when I think about my own life, I mean, I was an army brat. I went to many different schools. I was also very sick. So I didn't have continuing friends with whom I could share intimate stuff, certainly not dreams, not going to boys' schools, you know, sort of somewhat military environment. And so I didn't have friends of my own kind or my own sort of social group, and I didn't have family members with whom I could share this. One of the things that we are creating with our kind of dream work today is we are creating intentional families, intentional communities, where people give each other the right kind of feedback and guide each other towards action. And in that cause, in my school of active dreaming, we've been practicing what we call lightning dream work, which is a simple four-step process for sharing a dream or something like a dream and getting some non-authoritarian, non-intrusive feedback, and above all, being guided by action to do something with it. So, Lisa, I'm going to make you dream teacher and guide and counselor again, and I'm going to give you just a tiny little dream report, just a couple of sentences. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's one that I haven't done any work on. I just sort of glanced at my journal, so I looked for some reports that are brief, that I've done no work on. So from this couple of months ago, I'm just going to give it to you and let you take it wherever you like. And I'm not even going to give it a title to begin, but you can get one out of me. So the dream is about a fox man. I mean, he's a fox, but he's also a man. He has qualities of a fox and a human. I think he feels more like a fox, but I'm aware that he is a fox man. And he's very crafty. He has many ruses. He has many tricks. And actually, he has 18 different tricks and escape routes, I mean, to get out of difficult situations and humiliate people who are pursuing him, because he's often being hunted. But he's got 18 different ways of escape, different ways of evasion. He's very crafty. He's got bolt holes and secret passages. But things are getting tough for him. He has escape hatches. His bolt holes are being closed off one by one. Soon he will no longer have a reliable getaway. Is this the end of the fox man? Nope. He changes worlds. Now the game begins all over again. And that is the entire dream report.
When he changes roles, does he get 18 tricks again?
I don't know. This is a couple of months ago. That's all I recorded.
Okay.
Obviously the number 18 is interesting, but I don't know. But if you ask me questions, we'll see.
Okay. So how did you feel when you woke up from this dream?
I think I was excited and intrigued, and I felt some satisfaction that Fox Man was getting away with it.
Awesome. And, reality check. Does this Fox Man remind you of anything, or have you dreamed about him before, or does he seem like someone you may meet in the future with those characteristics?
Well, Fox is a very important character in my personal mythology and in my experience of life. And Fox has shown up in my life, particularly in Europe more than in North America. Fox has shown up on the roads of ordinary life in very interesting ways. I've seen a few foxes in North America, but I particularly think about Europe, which is, of course, where my ancestors come from. And I dream of Fox a lot. And Fox used to be very edgy indeed to me. I never felt comfortable when Fox was in play. Fox's appearance would mean to me, oh, wait a minute, pay attention. Things are not going to go as you expect. And there's trickster energy around. So Fox would always be very, and still is rather edgy for me, but I have strong associations with Fox and the craftiness of Fox. And actually, I've been doing more with the Fox shamanically and inviting people to make journeys to connect to that trickster energy to do better in life, to find your 18 ways of escape or ways forward if you need them, for example.
So is there anything in particular that you want to know about this dream?
I'm very interested in the 18. Why is it 18? I mean, I have some thoughts about that, but as I say, I haven't actually done any work on this dream until now, so we can discuss that. But now that I think about it, also, it would be great if we could just change worlds and we feel like it, wouldn't it? I mean, for many things in this world, I would love to be able to change, just flip it over. And Foxman seems to know how to do that. We can do it by going into dreaming, but I'm not sure that we can just turn the physical world over like that and slip into a parallel version. It would be nice to be able to do it.
So would you be interested in hearing what I would think about this if it were my dream?
Yes, please.
So as you're telling me about this, the number 18, it stands out to me in the context of the dream as like, so I'm thinking of how his trick basically resets after he goes through all of that one. Then it reminds me of like the nine lives of a cat. And 18 happens to be the double of nine. So to me, I'm seeing this 18 almost as an indicator of that constant cycle. Like you have 18 chances, you have 18 tries. And then I like to think of things obviously in the multiverse, right? So when he's changing roles and gets those, maybe, we don't know, but maybe gets those 18 tricks back. Maybe that's indicative of another timeline or another path or, you know, a rebirth of some sort. And then, I'm trying to think here. So a fox, obviously, you and I have been dealing with this trickster lately with this radio show, but the fox also can be a bit of a trickster, right? He can be an ally, or he can be a villain. Basically, a trickster, they'll do anything they have to do to, like, get what they want, right? And they're cunning. They can be disruptive. They openly question authority. They break the rules. And it's actually, those are traits that aren't bad to have, you know? Like, maybe this dream is indicating something about time running up to use these traits or something like that. Like I noticed this time running up thing with the 18 tricks running out. Those are my initial thoughts. I'd have to think about it a little bit more.
Well, that's extremely interesting. I mean, you reminded me as you spoke of a connection I had not made. I mean, the fox shows up in mythology and folklore all over the place. One of the places where the fox is very important is in Japan, where there are fox spirits who are often very tricky indeed, and are usually female spirits, kitsune. And the fox spirit has nine tails, not just nine lives, but nine tails, which is supposed to keep secret so you don't know you're dealing with the fox spirit. So when you went to the nine doubling and becoming the 18, that really rings a bell. I have another association with 18 since I played with tarot off and on since I was a kid. I mean, in tarot, 18 is the number of the moon card, which isn't really about the moon in the sky. It's about the astral realm of the moon. Magic and imagination can also be a place of deception and illusion. So there's a moon connection, but it's an astral and imaginal connection, more than simply a connection with the moon in the sky with its phases that probably I need to look at some more.
That is super interesting. I did not know that about the Japanese fox spirit, and now I do. That's great. So real quick here, if you were to take action on this dream, is there anything you would do to kind of bring this to life in your reality?
I think I'm going to weave this report together with my other reports of dreams of the foxes and try as I can stitch them together into some kind of story, some kind of narrative, and just put them together for now and see how they stand up. So that's my action plan for now.
Great. Do you feel like giving it a title now that we've gone through it?
Yeah, Foxman Can Change Worlds. Thank you, Lisa. We have to take a break. We're with Lisa Bowie, wonderful dream worker, teacher of active dreaming. We'll be back to do more dream play after the break.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Moss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Moss has a deep engagement with the dream world. And now you can take a crash course from this master of active dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3-DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
Welcome back. This is Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Do hop over to MossDreams.com, my website. You'll see I'm leading a lot of on-course trainings these days, including another version of the Dream Teacher training, which you can join if you've done other courses with me. Other things are available, other offerings. We have a wonderful dream coach and dream worker, teacher of active dreaming today, Lisa Bowie. You can find her at thedreamcoach.com. And we were just doing some play with a short dream report of mine. Now I think Lisa might be ready to tell me a dream and let me play Dream Guide and take her through the steps of our Lightning Dreamwork game. Are you ready, Lisa?
I am ready, yes.
Great.
So my dream does have a title, and it's called The Panther and the Water Slide. And,
I missed the first word.
Panther. The Panther and the Water Slide, like a big black cat panther.
Right. Okay.
So in this dream, I am at a theme park, and I'm about to go down this really big water slide. And this water slide has several rows lined up so that multiple people can go down it at the same time. And I'm just, like, sitting up there directly on the water slide so I can feel the water pouring around me. And I notice that other people on the slide are actually sitting in little cars, like roller coaster cars almost. So they're not actually in the water, but I am. And I'm just sitting there waiting for the ride to start, and suddenly I see a black panther come running at me from, like, he jumps over this fence that's supposed to divide the water park apparently from a zoo or something like that. And this black panther comes leaping over the fence and starts running right at me. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this panther just got out of his cage. And he's like, oh, my gosh, he just jumped over the fence. Right? So I'm freaking out, sitting on this water slide. And the panther, he gets right up next to me and starts licking me. And I was thinking, oh, my gosh, I am toast if this water ride starts and I go down a water slide with this panther. Like, he's going to rip my face off. And, like, you know, wildcats and water slides don't seem like a very good mix. And I decide I'm just going to keep petting him and calming him down. And he starts rubbing his face on me like cats do, like, when they're happy. And I just kept talking, like, super sweet to him. Well, inside, I'm feeling, like, super nervous, like I'm about to die. And the ride starts moving. And I'm like, oh, gosh, here we go. And we go rushing down this big hill, getting splashed with a ton of water. I can feel my stomach turning. I am, like, freaking out. This panther's still right next to me. But shockingly, as we're going down the water ride, he just keeps looking at me and chilling out. Like, he's not reacting whatsoever. And I'm trying not to scream to, like, scare or anything. So anyway, we make it down, and we're okay. And then we decide to go on it together again. So the second time I'm going down this slide, I'm still nervous. Like, I'm thinking, I'm really testing my luck here, riding this water slide with a panther 2 times. And just then, the entire British royal family rides by in these coaster cars, and they're about to go down the same water slide as me. And they pull, like, right in front of me. And I'm trying to get the queen's attention. And I managed to push over something she's holding and get her attention. And I whispered to her, I'm like, you have to get me out of here. And she just glanced over and ignores the fact that I'm about to go down a water slide with a panther. Like, she just couldn't be bothered with my trivial, you know, issues, my mundane issues. And So anyway, the ride starts and we go down it again, and I managed to get it down there again safely with this wild fanfare. And at the bottom, this time, people were talking to each other, and they're like, oh, how sweet, this girl and her panther got to ride this ride together again. Like, as if me and this panther are best friends or something. And then the panther gets up, and he turns into a man, and he works there. So he turns into the guy that runs the water ride. And I say to him, I was like, well, that was fun, but this time I'm going to go on it by myself. And I just like ran away real fast before he could stop me, because I still just wanted to get away from this panther. I still think that he's dangerous. And at the top this time, this is the final time I ran this leg, this panther guy, he's a man now, he comes up and he's going to strap me in for the ride, because this time I have a car like everybody else, whereas before I didn't. And there's all these little straps all over this cart that I got my fingers caught in. And this panther man, he's like, you're going to be stuck like that, but it's just how you're going to have to ride the ride. And I was like, no way, we're fixing this, because I am not going down this slide half backwards after riding it with this panther two times. So I wriggled my fingers free, and then he got my wrist strapped into, like, a better spot, and there's this man sitting next to me in the train car, in the same car, and the panther ride attendant straps my wrist to this man's wrist, and we ride together to the bottom while we're holding hands, and then I wake up.
Okay, all right, well, a lot going on here. What a wild ride. And I think we all danced along with you, and we're all sort of dripping with water from the water slide and the whole environment, and full of excitement and hearts are thumping away. We'll start the questioning and the process now. We'll probably need to complete it after the break. So let's ask the very first question. You were laughing a lot during your recounting of the dream. I need to know, was that your feeling during the dream as well? Were you as happy and excited as that, or was that what you felt when you thought about the dream afterwards, or is it both things?
During it, I was nervous. This panther / ride attendant made me very nervous, and I felt like I had to pacify him.
Right.
So when I woke up, I thought it was funny.
Okay. All right. So, all right. Usually I want to know your feelings on waking, but because you were laughing so much, well, I'm telling you, I needed to know, were you laughing your way through, or you're laughing away and you got through it and you came out fine. Okay. Reality check. What do you recognize from this dream in the rest of your life? Do you have been on water slides? Do you recognize a theme park like this? What's your relationship with panthers? What about the guy that the panther turns into? What about the royal family? What do you recognize or think about when you go through all these different elements?
So theme parks do show up in my dreams quite a lot. It's like a recurring recurring theme for me. And the panther reminds me of another theme kind of that I have in my dreams, where I'm trying to pacify a wild animal, like to keep it from eating me alive. Like I have had the same similar kind of dream where I had a pet alligator, and it really liked me, but it was a super high-maintenance pet, and I felt like I had to keep it calm and pacify it so that it wouldn't attack people because of me. So that is a theme, too, like this panther who's grown a liking to me, but I don't like it as much as it likes me, and I'm just trying to keep everyone happy.
What about the cat man? What about the man the panther turns into? Is he familiar? Any feline men?
No, like he doesn't remind me of anything. Like the character, he turns into just like a normal guy running a ride, which sometimes I would think in dreams it might be a teacher of some sort. Like perhaps he's trying to teach me a lesson. But in
very
real life,
briefly,
I can't.
We're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and go on with it. But can any elements of this play out in your life in the future, literally or symbolically? Could you be at a water slide in a theme park, for example, in order to be like, could you meet a panther?
I hope so. Well, I hope not the panther part, but I do like water slides. So
definitely
being a part.
Okay, well, again, happy pause. We're in the midst of working and playing with a dream from Lisa Bowie. We'll be back after the break. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Knopf.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Hi, you're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. Our guest is Lisa Dewey, a dream work coach, teacher of active dreaming. We're in the midst of discussing a dream of hers involving a panther on a water slide. And now we do the If It Were My Dream bit, which I'm going to ask Lisa to comment on later, the process itself, why we try to say if it were my dream or if it were my life rather than just handing down a judgment or interpretation. So I'm going to say, Lisa, if it's my dream, I notice that this panther is putting up with a lot from me in order to get close to me, because most cats don't want to be on a water slide, right? I mean, you know, a tiger swim out in the Bay of Bengal to eat fishermen, actually. jaguars like the water, and this is a black jaguar, which is possible. If it's my dream, it wouldn't be so unlikely. But it's actually unlikely that any big cat would want to go down a water slide, even if it doesn't mind the water. So it strikes me that this cat is putting itself through a lot in order to make a connection with me. It's as if an animal spirit is paying a price in order to get close to me. I'm paying the price of having to brave up, but it's paying the price of going through human motions, which it probably wouldn't enjoy, in order to get close to me. It's interesting that it reveals itself as having a human face as well, because the animal spirits aren't confined to one form, of course, and then it turns out that in human form, it's running the show, it's running the theme park. The theme park of what? If it's my dream, the theme park is a metaphor for my life, a symbolic landscape for my life right now, with its bumps and its swirls. And what is the royal family in the midst of all this? What role are they playing? Well, I'm from outer space. Let's bring in our space alien game, Lisa. What is the royal family? What is the queen? I don't understand you humans or why. I mean, this royal family, from what little news reports we have seen, seems to be going down the tubes in a different sense. What is the royal family? Can you explain it to me, to a space alien?
So the royal family, basically, they're a ruling family. So they're all blood related, and they rule over Britain, I want to say. Don't test my geography here. but to me, a royal family showing up is showing contrast between, classes. They're the highest class. They're the ruling class. Basically.
Yeah, but if I'm American, they don't rule over my country. They don't rule over the United States, right? If I'm Australian, you know, they also rule nominally over Australia as part of the Commonwealth, British Empire and Commonwealth. But if I'm an American, they don't rule over me, but they have some kind of status. Maybe they have some kind of, do they represent some seal of approval that I might value in some way, even if it doesn't have any objective value. I don't know, I'm a bit confused about the appearance of the royal family. If I am me, Robert, the Australian, who's lived in Britain and still has a lot of British identity, they represent a seal of approval which I don't need. What's going on here doesn't need their permission or their approval. It's something that is up to me to resolve with the wild spirit of the animal itself. So if it's my dream, I'm happy that I got through all of this. I'm happy that the panther put up with so much to get my attention. And my connection with water slides, other than with theme parks, and I've enjoyed water theme parks too, but my connection with some very big dreams I've worked, one in particular in which the water slide was actually access in the dream for someone to another element altogether. It was about getting ready for death and traveling beyond this world, entering, going taking the ride down the water slide into the deeper element of water was about getting comfortable with a different kind of reality. In the case of the person the dream was really about, it was about actually preparing for the big journey beyond death. So I'm thinking that maybe this repeated adventure down the water slide is about more than the thrills and spills of going down the slide repeatedly. Maybe if I look at the dream again or go back into it, maybe consciously traveling with the panther, I'll find out that the whole dream, through its fun and its thrills, is about initiation into some deeper element. That's where my mind is going. And I'm also remembering that the panther, which is the black leopard, the leopard and its black form, the panther, are a favorite ally of shamans, particularly in relation to traveling between the worlds in Egypt and in Africa. So, you know, my mind is going off in that direction, too. Is there anything you might now do to honor the dream, to, you know, carry it further, make or craft something representing the panther, maybe?
Yeah, I find it very interesting what you just said about, you know, this poor panther is putting up with a whole lot of crap just to get close to me. I think I definitely need to look into the panther more and maybe cut the poor panther a break and meet him halfway as opposed to making him do all the work to come find me. Like, I definitely am going to look into that more. Maybe someday re-enter the dream, too, and try to make a better connection with them. Thank you for that. It's very interesting what you said.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm very struck once again by how much the panther put up with in order to get close to me, including my fear, and riding the bumpy water slide again and again. I mean, this is really quite an effort. So I think I might feel some potential gratitude towards the leopard. As I say, the panther is a black leopard, towards the leopard in its black form. It's familiar with the dark, of course. And I'd be very excited to see where we might be able to travel together if I can confirm the relationship and do something to honor it. I might just practice as I go about the world, particularly at night, just feeling myself walking close to the panther, walking close to the leopard, just feeling myself in my energy body. You know, getting a little more feline, I'd study its habits and maybe move and make some moves that panther would enjoy. And, of course, I get myself on a water slide as soon as possible, too, Lisa.
Yeah, I kind of didn't hear what you just said. Something about you getting on a water slide.
I get myself on a water slide or to a water theme park as soon as I can.
Oh, yeah, and it's summer now, and it's super hot, so that could easily be
good weather for this. Go and take your inner panther to, go and take my inner panther to a water theme park ASAP.
Yes, I'll call that my action plan because that sounds really fun. I take it.
All right, we're talking to Lisa Bowie. She's a dream work coach. She's a teacher of active dreaming, and she offers... you can check her out at thedreamcoach.com. She offers online workshops and counseling and so on. And one of the things that she offers to help us with is recognizing and reading our symbols, not only symbols from dreams, but symbols from waking life. This is one of my favorite studies. So when we come back in our final long segment, we're going to move into how we get to understand symbols, how we, to follow Lisa's thought, might, in the act of journaling, begin to develop a personal dictionary of symbols. I'll say this to you. However good you might find a certain dictionary or encyclopedia of symbols in the bookstore, the most important dictionary or encyclopedia of symbols you'll ever have access to is your very own, once you've tracked how symbols evolve and develop over time. We mentioned a foxy dream of mine, you know, earlier. I've had multiple encounters with the fox in my dreams and in waking life, and certain common elements come into play in those dreams and in those waking connections, but it's also interesting to track the evolution of one's understanding, appreciation of a certain recurring element. So let's make symbolism in dreams of the night and dreams of waking life, dreams we have with our eyes wide open, our theme when we come back after the break. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back. This is Way of the Dreamer with Robert Noss. Do hop over to mossdreams.com, my website. You'll see links to my blog articles. You'll see current online trainings and workshops and other goodies. Our guest today is Lisa Bowie. We're now going to talk about symbols. You know, the Greeks used to say that the most important quality, the most important qualification for someone who interprets dreams is, quote, a talent for resemblances. In other words, the ability to notice that something resembles something else. This was said by two famous Greeks, by Aristotle, the philosopher, and by Artemidorus, the dream interpreter, who flourished in the great city of Ephesus in Asia Minor. Talent for resemblances. Noticing that one thing resembles another. To go into the history of the understanding of these things for a moment, Wolfgang Pauli, the quantum physicist who assisted Jung in developing his theory of synchronicity, wanted to call the phenomenon of meaningful coincidence not synchronicity, but isomorphy. Isomorphy is a term basically only mathematicians recognize. It means similarity or identity of form. One thing looks like or is like another. And that is what Pauli thought was the prime element in the experience of meaningful coincidence. You encounter something and it resembles something else, and that gives you a message. That gives you a clue. So one of the questions in life is, you know, how do we get to know our own symbols? Because, you know, the snake on your path or the snake in your dream is not necessarily the same as the snake in my way or the snake in my dream, although we might recognize that we have something in common. We might even feel that we're tapping into a sort of universal image, an archetype. The snake means something. It might mean poison. It might mean medicine. It might mean shedding the skin. It might mean a connection with the deep earth. So, Lisa, when you say that you help people to understand symbols, including in waking life, how do you go about this? What can you say to people? If I've just come in off the street and I'm aware that there are symbols going on in my dreams and in my life and something keeps popping up, but I don't know how to understand it, how are you going to help me to enter this field?
So when someone first comes to me with a dream, like what goes on in my head, is that I kind of zoom out of the dream. If they go into like a super long detailed dream, in my head I am breaking that down basically into symbols. So I look at the dream literally, and then I try to interpret it myself, like to myself, to figure out what it means symbolically. And one way to do that is what we do in the Lightning Dreamwork classes, and we ask about the reality check. It helps when you're working with someone else's dream to ask them, what does this mean to you? Or even if they're not sure, how did they feel when they came across it? You can kind of start to break down the characteristics of that object or animal or whatever and narrow it into what it means for them based on how they feel about it or what it means to them in their waking life. Like I like to use the example of a horse. So if I dream of a horse, I'm actually terrified of horses. I do not like riding horses. So if I dream of a horse, it's obviously going to mean something completely different to someone who raises horses. So that's a really important thing to know. And then you touched on one of my tricks, too, which is actually a trick I learned from you, and that's the space alien game. So trying to explain it as if you're a space alien, you have no idea what the royal family is, you know, things like that, it forces the dreamer to really think about, it breaks it down to, like, its most elemental point in what it actually means. And then keeping a dream journal is very important, again, because as you keep that dream journal you start to build a library of all of your symbols. And then you can look back and see kind of how your personal symbols are evolving over time. And after a while with these recurring symbols, you really start to get a really good idea of what it means for you. Like if you start to see a certain thing show up in your dreams and you've kept that journal and you really worked with this and broke it down to figure out, you know, the elemental things that it means to you, you'll start to know that that dream's trying to tell you something specific. So
interesting
there's a bit of a
that you mentioned horses. I took a walk around the lake in the park that is near my house today. And there's horse manure on the trail, and you never see that. I have never, ever seen anyone riding a horse on that trail. But I saw it a sign that someone had been through there on a horse today, and I was thinking, I didn't see anything else that really grabbed my attention. I spent some time with my favorite tree and so on, but I didn't feel that the world was speaking to me particularly directly, except that I was struck by the fact someone had been riding a horse on a trail where you absolutely never see that. And you just mentioned horses and the fact that you don't like them. So
that's a bit synchronistic. Yeah.
Synchronistic. Now, the world gives it as within, so without, as above, so below. So, you know, the world of symbols is alive around us. And once again, it's important for us to trust our own feelings and make our own connections and associations and not take it as hand-me-down knowledge from someone else that the horse means such and such. You would probably like the old Sicilian grandmother who used to run my favorite Italian grocery store in my part of the world. I used to go in there to buy fresh-made, homemade pasta and tomatoes and garlic and so on, and she'd tell me her dreams, and she'd say, oh, Robert, I had a terrible dream. It had a horse in it, and you know that horses are demons. She'd say, I'd always have to control myself because horses are not demons to me. I like horses. I'm not much of a horseman, but I love horses. But in her traditional Sicilian way of understanding dreams, horses are demons. And in the same sort of system of hand-me-down stuff, she would say, Robert, I had a great dream. What was it? Oh, my house was full of dirt. And I'm thinking, oh, yuck. She says, no. Dirt is good. Dirt means money is coming. Dirt means money is coming. The old belief that, you know, gold and silver come from the ground, and, you know, and so something that is dirty is probably connected with value. So we're talking now about a tied a different kind of symbol. We're talking about symbols as taught and insisted upon even in different belief systems and different traditions. Today in our universal society, we are liberated in the sense that unless we decide to tie ourselves to some tradition or some limited form of understanding, we can find our own meanings. And as you say, keeping your journal and tracking how a certain symbol or recurring incident comes up again and again, you'll be better able to understand what it means to you.
Absolutely. On my YouTube channel, I talk about dream journaling a lot because to me, that's the key. Like, you have to keep that dream journal, even just starting one. It's kind of like a kickoff into the world of dream work if you haven't done any dream work. So I talk about the dream journal a lot.
Absolutely. It's so fundamental, and it is such easy everyday practice. People are into everyday practices. Sure. I'll say to them, your everyday practice, I mean, if you're like me, if you can be like me, write something in your journal. I don't care what it is. It doesn't have to be a dream. Write something in your journal. It might be a picture. Might be a little art entry rather than something written. But do it every day. That is practice, even one sentence. And if you've been having any problem with remembering dreams, if you're writing something in your journal every day, your dream producers, and you probably have some dream producers, are probably going to pay attention and say, look, this person is ready to record. They're ready to do something. So let's give them something, and maybe they'll get it done, and things will go forward. I would also say, if you have any hopes of being a writer, you know, your journal is going to be your own, and many people would like to write something. Maybe would like to publish something. Your journal is your everyday practice. It's your everyday workout, and it's not a difficult one once you just school yourself to get down, you know, that paragraph.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Dream journals are very important. Everyone make a dream journal. If I had to say anything at all to anybody, that's what it would be. Start a dream journal
is absolutely the heart of the practice. And you mentioned some of the things that you're going to discover by doing it. You're going to discover you're really effortlessly creating your own dictionary of symbols. You're going to notice mm-hmm. things that recur. You're going to notice that there are narrative stories playing in some of your dreams, episode after episode. You'll be missing installments mm-hmm. over time. And some of those parallel life stories are going to make you wonder about your connection with other lives, other personalities, parallel lives, and so on. You're going to notice, as you mentioned, that you see things of the future, and when you notice that you see things before they happen, you might wake up to the more interesting phenomenon, that if you can see a possible future scenario, you might be able to change it for the better if you don't like it, or if you do like it, you mm-hmm. might be able to figure out how to get from where you are to what you would like to see manifest. So these are all some of the things, and I notice, having kept a journal for a very long time, Lisa gives me all sorts of games I can play. I can open an old journal at random. I can do this from my digital archives or from my with all my printed journals from over the years. I could open it at random, and what I see might be sort of started though for the day for some creative writing or some creative thinking, or it might be that looking at a dream report from even 10 years ago, I'm seeing something that is just beginning to manifest in waking life now, and the old report gives me a little shiver of recognition. Oh, I've been on this track for longer than I realized.
Yeah.
And sometimes it even gives me some counsel and some clues on how to handle things all these years after the original report. So if you're going to do bibliomancy, which is the $5 word for opening a book and getting some guidance from a book, the very best book to do it with is your journal when you've kept your journal for long enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed all those same things. And just real quick, too, I just want to add that I keep my dream journal on my phone. It's all digital. So I do it all by emailing myself. And then eventually I put it into a Word document. But that is an easy way to immediately have a searchable database, just as a tip. And it's a lazy
point.
If you don't want to get up and write it down,
put my report on my phone, too, because I can't read my own writing. And if I'm scrolling in the middle of the night, it's going to be quite impossible. And it might have been be indecisive come the day. So I even it's nice, isn't it? Nice feeling to be emailing yourself. You're sending mm-hmm. a report, maybe from a drifty state where you're still quite close to dreamland. You're sending yourself a message back to ordinary reality. That's and then I'll put it in my full digital database, and I'll probably expand it and write it up. And if I'm lucky, it'll give me some inspiration to do a drawing or a quickie painting with pastels or crayons first thing of the day, which my little boy self loves. So it gives me some creative material for the day. What else would you like? We're this is rushing by, which is great. Okay. All right, Lisa, you've been a wonderful guest, and thank you for all the gifts of dreaming you're bringing to people. May your best dreams come true.
Thank you so much. It was great being here.
All right. For everybody, may your best dreams come true, and may you remember them.